Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. God's word for our consideration is from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll begin reading that now. This, then, is how you ought to regard us. As servants of Christ and of those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you will not be puffed up into being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? This is the word of our God. Let us pray. Lord, do not withhold your mercy from us. May your love and your faithfulness always protect us. Amen. How do you know if you're doing a good job? I suppose that depends on what your job is. Many jobs today are tied to specific metrics. There are numbers that you're expected to hit personally as a department or as a whole organization. And when you hit those numbers many times, you'll hear those in charge say that you're doing a good job. But not all the time. Sometimes what you thought was good isn't good enough. On Monday night, the Denver Nuggets won their first title and the NBA wrapped up its season. But before the trophy was handed out or the championship parade happened, six coaches had been fired. That number in and of itself isn't surprising, but four of the six made the postseason this year. Three of those four have won titles. The other lost in the finals just 2 years ago. Yet, despite having impressive resumes and success during this past season, they were fired. Their peers rallied to their defense. They argued that these men deserved better, but it didn't matter. Those who make the final call said they weren't good enough. You see, that's the thing. When you're responsible, when you're in a position of leadership, whether you're a coach or a church leader, a father or a Christian, you will be judged. That's one of the key points that the Apostle Paul makes. He says to the Corinthians, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. I don't even judge myself. But the Lord judges me. Now, this likely isn't the only time you've ever heard somebody talk like this. There are lots of people throughout history who have boasted, only God can judge me. Too many did not realize how true their words would prove to be. God is the ultimate and final judge of all mankind. But Paul isn't saying, only God can judge me, to tell the Corinthians, I'll do whatever I want. I don't care what you guys think. No, he's reminding them of his role, what God called him to be and do, and to whom he is ultimately and finally accountable. When he says, the Lord will judge me, he's making a statement about what God will do for everyone. When God returns, he will bring light to what is hidden in darkness. He will reveal the motives of the heart, and at that time, each person will receive whatever praise they are due from the Lord. You see, what Paul says here doesn't just apply to apostles. In fact, Paul says he has applied these things or this truth about our ultimate accountability to God to Apollos as well. Apollos was a church leader, pastor, but he was not an apostle like Paul. But Paul recognized that when you're responsible, when you're in a position of leadership, you will be judged. It's not just true of church leaders, it's true about all Christians, all people. We are all going to be judged by God. And like Paul, we are all servants of Christ. We have all been entrusted with the mystery of the gospel that God has revealed to us through his word. And this is why verse 2 is so important for us. Because Paul tells us what we will be judged upon. He says, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. This is what God is looking for. Faithfulness is what he's judging. That's the key metric in God's final and ultimate judgment. So we ought to know what faithfulness means and what it doesn't mean. We must not conflate faithfulness with things like success, influence, popularity. It's one of the tough truths that Paul tackles in 1 Corinthians. You see, one of the problems they had was a quarreling over the superiority of their spiritual mentors. Paul hints at this in what he says about Apollos, but in chapter 1, he tells us flat out that they had a problem. One person would say, I'd follow Paul. Another would pipe up and say they follow Apollos. Someone else would say they follow Peter or Cephas. And a fourth would say they follow Christ. And Paul recognized that this bickering was breaking up their unity. They needed to be reminded that being a servant of Christ was not about accumulating followers or building a personal legacy or being thought of as wise or influential or successful. So Paul reminded them who sent him and why. Paul was sent by God to plant the seed of God's word. Apollos was sent by that same God to water that same seed. But Jesus is the one who ultimately made it grow. Christ crucified is the cornerstone of the faith of every believer, regardless of whom we hear it from or where. Or how? At times we struggle with this truth too. We have spiritual leaders that we may like a lot, and then there are some we just don't click with. Now, God has made all of us different, and we all have different preferences, but we must also recognize that Satan preys upon our preferences too. He can use our affinity for one particular individual or some specific congregation or a kind of worship to lead us to think less of someone or something or somewhere different. And just because someone is well-liked or a place is full of lots of people or the music is familiar or feels upbeat doesn't mean that it's being faithful. At the same time, we must also recognize the inverse is just as true. Just because someone isn't liked or a congregation is small or the worship isn't exactly what I like doesn't mean that it's faithful. We must not crave popularity or chase success or place too high a value on sounding wise or being influential. These things in and of themselves are not faithfulness. So what does it mean to be faithful? Well, Paul gives us two pictures. He calls himself a servant of Christ and the one who has been entrusted with the mysteries of God or an administrator. Now, the word that Paul used for servant here seems to have originally described a slave under rower in a triple-decker Greek warship. In biblical usage, that wasn't really as needed. But this word for servant describes someone who's an officer under a commander or a helper or an assistant. What's clear is the common thread. This is a servant who takes orders from someone in command, someone in charge. And Paul was saying, I take my orders from Christ. At the same time, Paul also wanted the Corinthians to see that he was an administrator. His master had put him in charge. He was a servant, yes, but he was also in charge of other servants. Think of Abram's servant, Eleazar, or Potiphar's slave, Joseph. Think of Jesus' parable of the gold talents where that king goes away on a long journey and gives his gold to his servants and expects them to invest it wisely. Paul was an administrator of the riches of God's mercy, power of the gospel, the mystery of God's grace. So too are you. Each of us has been given our marching orders as a servant of Christ. Each of us has been given a trust, like Paul. Now, your command is not to be a missionary to the Gentiles throughout Europe and Asia Minor, but you have your orders. Love God, treasure His word, love one another as Christ loved you. Each of us has been entrusted with the mystery that God has revealed to us in His word. We have been given the power of God to courageously confront sin and sinners and also comfort them with the assurance that Christ was crucified for their sins. We are called to be faithful servants, faithful administrators. So we must ask ourselves, have we been faithful? Have we obeyed the commands that come from our captain? When Christ commands us to take up our cross and follow Him, do we march in step daily? When He orders us to turn the other cheek, do we do so humbly? When He tells us to forgive as freely as we have been forgiven, do we comply without complaining, or do we find ourselves dragging our feet and making excuses and being an unfaithful servant? Have we been a faithful administrator? When we think of all that God has put into our hands, our time, our talents, our treasures, can we really say that we have made God's goals our life's top priority? When other people look at how we invest our very selves, do they see someone who pours themselves into studying His word? Do they find someone who roots their confidence in what Christ has done alone? Do they recognize that our values are not set by worldly pragmatism or what is popular or by what we personally feel, but by what God says and does? Have we been as faithful an administrator as Joseph was to Potiphar? You remember how Potiphar trusted Joseph. He put everything in his household except what he ate under Joseph's care. But in that position, Joseph was put under great pressure by Potiphar's wife to sleep with her. Yet he refused repeatedly, saying, "How then can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" Fellow administrators of the mysteries of God's mercy, is that your attitude towards wickedness? Do you flee sin no matter the personal cost? Do you seek first the kingdom of God, trusting that He will ultimately take care of the rest? Unfortunately, we tend to be unreliable servants and irresponsible administrators. We have no basis to be proud. But we must not ultimately despair either. Don't forget the questions that Paul asks, right? Who makes you different from anyone else? It's not you. It's not the people you've heard about Christ from. It is Christ who makes you different. It is God who has given you everything that you have. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord and what the Lord freely gives to us. Your Heavenly Father so loves you that He gave His one and only Son, Christ Jesus, as the faithful servant that you need. Christ Jesus is also the responsible and diligent administrator of all the mysteries of God. And throughout His life and ministry, we see this. Jesus is the faithful servant. Jesus is the diligent administrator. First and foremost, we see that Jesus followed God's orders perfectly. He kept the law flawlessly. He was faultless in thought, impeccable in word, and incomparable in deed. Even those who despised Him could not point to a single thing that He had done wrong. He never gave in to sin, even if it would have made His life easier or more pleasant. Jesus followed His Father's will even when it meant that He had to suffer and die on the cross. He willingly did whatever it took so that we might be made different. Righteous. He suffered to pay for our sins, but he was raised to life for our justification. This is how God has made us different. This is how God has made you righteous. But Jesus is also the faithful administrator of God's mysteries. In Jesus' earthly ministry, he proclaimed things that were inconceivable to the people of his day. He told the people of his day that the Pharisees were not righteous enough to stand confidently before God, but rather that the tax collectors would be called great in God's sight. He told the people that God prefers to show mercy rather than receive sacrifices. He told the people that the angels in heaven have greater joy over one sinner being led to repentance than seeing 99 righteous ones who think they don't need God. He told his disciples that he would be killed and rise again on the third day. He told them that before Abraham was, I am, that I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. In me, you will produce much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So remain in him, and you will be faithful. Remain in him, and he will be with you even to the very end of the age. You see, because Jesus is God's servant and yours, you are saved. Because Jesus is the magnificent administrator of God's mercy, you have been transformed. The same Lord who judges the living and the dead is the one who died for your sins and rose to life so that you might live in him, so that you might live differently. See, in Christ, you have been called to be a servant of God and an administrator of God's mysteries. The one true God will judge each of us. So strive to be found faithful to his word. Commit yourself to his cause of saving sinners. Today is Father's Day. So I think it's appropriate that we focus on how God calls and uses fathers to be servants of God, to be faithful administrators of God's mysteries. My brothers, you are in a position of leadership. You are responsible for your families. You will be judged. Not by the world, not by your peers, but by God alone. And I want you to have the utmost confidence that comes from what God's word has said. God has called you to be his servant, to exert yourself in following his orders. He calls you to love your wife, the mother of your children, as Christ loved the church. He calls you to train and encourage your children in the Lord. He calls you to discipline them in love, too. You must recognize that each of these tasks can be poorly mimicked by the world around us. They'll say that loving your wife means making her happy. But a servant of Christ recognizes that a husband's goal is to seek to root his wife's joy in the Lord so that she might be content, whatever the circumstance. Our world tells a father that he must love and support his children in whatever they think or do or want to be, but a servant of Christ knows that a father is commanded to teach, to model, and to imprint the wisdom of the Lord upon the hearts and minds of his children. He is a steward of them and a steward of the mysteries of God's mercy and love. So when his children wander, he will correct them, not out of anger, but grave concern for their eternal future. When they return, he will forgive them as freely as he has been forgiven. And he will rejoice to do so, as the father of the prodigal son did, because that is how his heavenly father celebrates over his repentance. You are God's servant. You are an administrator of God's mercy. Strive to be found faithful to his word. Be committed to his cause of calling sinners to repentance and restoring them gently. And our God promises that he makes us faithful, and that in the end he will reward us with a crown of life. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. If you'd like to learn more about the mysteries of God and the faithful servant that Christ has been for us and transforms us to be, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find an opportunity to gather together with us in worship, to connect with me personally, and to learn more about what our Lord has revealed to us in His Word. May our God continue to bless and keep you.